Say something, goddammit. You're on television. You're live to the whole world.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that performs musicals out of key moments in history and then makes them all animated. I'm Oscar, and with me today is... Don't give me the rolly eyes. Jesus.
I didn't roll my eyes. I shook my head.
That's even worse.
Whatever.
Ralph. With me today is Ralph. And Luke is not here, as we said before, I think, on the last show. This is the first show, the first Luke-less show we get. He's overseas in Colorado.
I don't know what's
he will here. Join us actually for the third part of this podcast. But today's show will consist of three film reviews, as always. Our first will be La La Land, the latest by Damien Chazelle, the director of Whiplash, the critical hit. Overall popular. I mean, for an indie movie, anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like Batman Fuck You Money, but it's pretty
right. Exactly.
Higher up than.
But I mean, considering as an indie movie,
at least that's what we feel. I don't know. I mean, everyone we know knows it, but like, are we in our own bubble?
No, or... I know people who don't know that movie.
I mean, I know that too, but right. Yeah. Anyway, and then we're gonna move on to a review of a biopic of sorts, a historical biopic called Jackie, starring Natalie Portman on that one. Yeah. And then we'll end our segment with Luke. With a documentary that's out on currently out to rent and buy on streaming platforms and VOD and whatnot. It's called Life Animated. Feedback, and always and much appreciatedly so, can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is our website for the main everything we do, anything we do, honestly. Bios, shows, history. Top 10 stuff that's going to come up soon. Detailed show notes on all this stuff is available on every show that we produce and release to you guys. Real quick, I was going to mention the bonus show for this month. It's which I know that when this releases, you only have like 2 days to, you know, take advantage of it, or a day. And it is Star Wars, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I can never get those two right.
Hey, you've been saying it wrong, I think.
No, I think that's right.
No, you're saying it right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've been saying it wrong. You've been saying Star Wars... A Rogue One or a Rogue One.
Well, when we, sure. take advantage of that if you want. And also next month, which is like right around the corner, of course, with the new year, 2017, we're going to kick off our first bonus episode with Silence, the latest Martin Scorsese film. It's not available in the city yet, but it will be available hopefully sometime, I think, the first week of January. So we're going to take advantage of that for bonus material.
Because we're not going to be watching much anything else.
No, January is usually the dot month. I mean, when you're not catching up to the whole year, obviously.
So that's what I do. I catch up to the 26th.
January is a big catch up.
January, February.
November to January, basically.
I still see some February stuff because it's a short month usually. So
true. All right. Before we get into our main show, Ralph, let's talk about what we've been watching. I hear that you watched part 1 of 5 of something. What is it?
Yawn. Man,
I just let him yawn. I could have said more.
You should have said more.
But I wanted the audience to know that you yawn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm human. That being said, or am I past the Turing test? I saw O.J. Made in America. O.J. Made in America. I saw the first episode of this 5-episodic miniseries thingamabobber going on.
The first 90 minutes, I believe.
Yeah. And I was captured. I was captured by the whole thing. I think they did a great job, and especially how it ends, because you just really wonder, like, I got to, like, the last 10 minutes, and I was like, how much longer is this episode? Because, like, we know, like, we're not even getting to, like...
Oh, no, dude.
But you think they'd mention something about the case, right?
Right.
And then they finally mention it. Like, he meets the girl.
The would-be victim.
Yeah, the would-be victim, exactly. And then they said, like, well, we never thought that would happen with this. And I was like, oh, of course you ended there. Like, it's a good ending. And I started the second episode. But, it's really good. And it shows, I think, a great portrayal of his stardom and why this person was who he was, especially growing up, or at least from where football player and stuff like that.
True. I agree. It's really good. I almost wish we did a show on that miniseries, because there's so many details I want to talk about, geek out on, or say, man, the way they did this or the pacing of that was cool. But that's good. And we both have a movie we want to talk about together, and then we'll transition to my other movies, and that is the Disney's latest animated feature, I think their second this year, called Moana. Rob, what did you think of Moana? Currently in theaters, though. It's making a lot of money.
Yeah, currently theaters, the theater's still being packed.
Well, yeah, people are out of school, so.
Right, exactly. Let me think. I think there was a little bit too much hype for me for this movie.
Oh, was there too much hype for you?
A little bit.
It's possible. I think I did hype it up for you.
A lot of people, and it wasn't just you. A lot of people were telling me this is just a great movie. You'll love it. That's what I heard from everybody that's seen this movie.
Jeff Cannata.
Right. Well, that's just Jeff Cannata. You just take it with, you know, a grain of salt.
Right, because he loves everything. What he loves, he loves.
What he loves, loves. Yeah, but what he hates, he does tell you he hates.
Oh yeah,
and he like implores you to.
He
not
has
watch
those
it.
Emotions.
Right. Like, that's one of the reasons I haven't seen Transformers, for example. It's like begging me not to watch this movie.
Right.
That being said, Moana, I'm not saying it's a bad movie at all. I actually really did enjoy the movie. I thought it was really cool. Obviously, besides looking phenomenal because it's a fucking good ass thing.
True.
Showing us this thing, I loved that Hercules thing with the tattoos. It felt very Hercules.
Because the pot of plant designs,
exactly.
And Hercules, the singers,
right.
Come out and narrate.
I love that little thing. I love that feature of the movie. Overall, I liked all the characters. I didn't really hate much. I felt like there was a scene or a couple scenes maybe that weren't really needed as much. Especially like, I think it's just a little bit elongated too much, but overall the journey was great. I love how different it is from like any other princess kind of movie. Very hands-on princess.
Apparently, kind of a kind of playful thing to like read up on their history, the culture that they're, you know, stenciling everything. It's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
that's
great. Yeah, there's a lot of meanings behind everybody's names here, and I wish they kind of delved a little bit more into that. But that's fine. It's a Disney movie. It's not. I don't fault at it. I just do appreciate, like, there's symbols everywhere and there's connections everywhere. And if you're paying attention, you'll see them. And that's a great thing. The movie is also music's good.
And dude, what's his name?
Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson. Dude, he's really good.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, he was really good.
He's so charming. That guy can't do no wrong, almost.
Right.
He's nearly a Renaissance man, but he can't build anything with his hands yet, or
sure.
Paint or something. But you know what I'm saying. I want to just echo similar stuff. Not as many problems. I came out of that theater loving it, and I kept loving it. So the feeling never subsided for me. I just want to mention two things. That one is that the animation has gotten so good and so seamless. Not just with Disney, with everything. I mean, just with the technology in the world. That anthropomorphizing. I fucked up that word.
You did.
Making water alive. There you go. The ocean. Those ocean scenes.
Great.
It was really good. It's so tender and funny when it wants to be.
Right.
And the other thing I will mention is that I really like the return to musical. Because it's a musical. And apparently the year of musicals, by the way.
Sure.
There's been other films. Not music inspired, mind you. Musical. There's like at least five songs.
Right, where you break into feelings with songs and stuff
right.
Like that.
You get the intro with the town. You
sure.
Get the You're Welcome.
And it's done. Oh my God, that's a great song.
Yeah.
And it's done right. And it's not done like tacked on or anything.
Oh, you liked it, right?
I liked everything except for one song, and it was the crab song. The shiny thing.
Oh God, the crab. Oh, the crab.
Yeah,
I think it said the crap. I'm like,
oh,
crap
the crab song.
You're right. That's probably the weakest one.
That was the weakest.
I forgot about it until it went out.
Kind of like that whole part was kind of weak for me. That's where my movie faults lies in.
What'd you think of the Mad Max thing with those whatever they were? I don't know what they were. Coconuts?
I don't know. Yeah,
coconuts.
Yeah,
right.
Coconuts. I loved it.
It was so
one
awesome.
One of the funniest scenes. She just gets on there. She's like, they're coconuts. Like, I'm just gonna kick their asses.
Right. Anyway, so that's Moana. We endorse it. I endorse
right.
it a bit more, but we both like it.
I want to say the directors for this movie, because I watched it at an AMC.
I think the same guys who did Mermaid and Mulan.
Yeah, they did Little Mermaid. They did...
I think Mulan was the last musical.
They might have
No, Hercules might have been.
I think they did Hercules as well.
Really?
And they did something else. And I was just like, you guys did great movies. Like,
yeah.
Obviously. I mean... You haven't done it.
And unless you're like
time.
An animated geek or a Disney geek, you really their names are not household.
No, they're not.
Not like Tarantino.
Sure.
But they've done a lot of movies that
right,
are
exactly.
that shaped a lot of youths or young adults.
Yeah,
today,
I could definitely say that.
Or fuck, even adults. Anyway, so that's Moana. We talked a little bit more than I thought, but it's okay. Next up is Loving. You gonna catch up? No, it's not one of your.
You know, it's not. Maybe you could convince me.
Well, that's the thing about this one. This is the latest, the second film by, oh my God, I don't have the information in front of me, the guy who did Midnight Special.
Of this year, you mean?
Yeah, this year.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's on Take Shelter.
Right, this is a movie that doesn't have...
No weird...
No. What's that actor? Michael Shannon, right?
He's in it. He plays a photographer.
Of course Michael Shannon is in it.
Dude,
you couldn't keep him out of a movie. No, well, he's not the main actor. Right?
No, he's not even a supporting. He's in two scenes.
It's that other guy. What's his name? He's popular, too.
He's in Midnight Special.
He's in Warrior, also.
In Warrior, yeah.
Right.
His two best movies, probably.
Yeah, he plays the brother in the first brother.
He's really good in this movie, and I don't remember any names. I saw this movie at this time now, like a month ago, but I will say that it's one of those movies that I really appreciate. It just didn't hit me very well, and I know that the point of the movie is to just serve the two characters. This is about the story. I forget the names, but I know the last name is Loving. About the story about these two interracial couple who married in, I forget which state, I think Virginia. And the state, like, outlawed that, and they had them separated for a few years, and they have kids in the meantime, and they're fighting the Supreme Court. Not fighting the Supreme Court, but they go up to the Supreme Court, and they're the first couple that gets judged, you know, that their rights, you know, they have a right to be married. And they win that case. But it's not about the case at all. You don't even see a courtroom, I don't think, in the movie, maybe once. So it's not the way you think
it
happened.
Right, it's a struggle, right? It's the struggle of everything.
It's more like the whole like state idea, the illegal idea, the whole historical basis for this movie. It's like takes a second a backseat to just the Lovings, because it's about them and how they're forced to be separated. It's about what affects their relationship. It's about their relationship. It's about the guy. The guy's kind of a dummy. He's a great man, but he's kind of a dunce. He doesn't really get it. He wants. If it's not a solution that leads him to marry his wife and stay with her, then he doesn't care what direct, you know, if it's not direct, you know, it takes him a long time to get it. And his wife kind of takes the front seat of a lot of the political stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Instead of him. And there's some interesting friction there.
A little slow-minded, yeah.
A little slow-minded, yeah. But in a good way. Like, he does it so earnestly in the movie. I forget the guy's name, but he's a good actor. It's off right now.
No, I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I just hope people can follow me. That's my point. I found all that stuff, some of that stuff, really good, especially those moments that I'm talking about. And I just wish the film. I don't know. I'm not saying I needed explosions, but I didn't feel hooked enough for me to not saying not care, but like have an effect on me after watching it. And I didn't really have it for me.
Okay.
So I don't really blame the movie. It's one of those movies I would give it like 4 out of 5 stars, but I wouldn't like it much. You know, because I appreciate
its
value.
But you appreciate what it is.
Like, if it makes it whatever awards, or not even that, if it gets like a big audience,
you're not going to get.
I wouldn't say no.
Right, you're not going to get mad about it.
Right, exactly. It's not the artist.
It's not Eddie Redmayne, you know,
or Eddie Redmayne and anything.
I'm not knocking on the guy.
But at this point, I think it's a running joke.
I just don't see.
We just gotta make fun.
It's a running joke, and I also don't see this just gigantic appeal
for Eddie Redmayne. I don't get it either.
Right.
Last movie here, real quick, is a documentary called 0 Days. The latest by Kirby. Fuck me, I forgot his name. James Kirby, Kirby Dick, something like that. 0 Days. Look it up, people. And real quick, it's considered to be his most important documentary. And that guy, if you know that guy, he's made a documentary a year, if not two a year. There was that one year, I think in 2014, he made two, and then like a third one came at the start of the next. Like, he makes so many documentaries, and almost all of them are kind of really popular. His big opening doc was Taxi Dark Side with me, Dark Side with Taxi, something like that. Taxi to the Dark Side, you know?
Nope.
Okay, it's about like a love letter or like true story is made in taxi cabs. And he did the female rape stuff in the military. He did that one. Have you ever heard of it?
I think I have. I know what you're saying.
I really should be looking at all this up. I don't know why I'm not. I'm just being really stubborn. But either way, people will follow me. 0 Days is interesting. And what is interesting about it is it has a Snowden effect to it, where actually a little bit because of Snowden. And you can tell that the whole phenomenon of Snowden and his whistleblowing was such an impact on the man. You could tell that he wanted not to go like in his footsteps per se or to copy him, but it feels like it got a kernel of an idea of something that he thought was going on. And maybe throughout whatever years of research he did to make the movie, he found something really valuable to say. And so with that in mind, let me fucking make sure I got it here. Okay, now I'm with you. I just want to read it here. A documentary focused on Stuxnet, a piece of self-replicating computer malware that the U.S. and Israel unleashed to destroy a key part of an Iranian nuclear facility, and which ultimately spread beyond its intended target. So they build this weapon, this tech, software, hardware weapon to stop the Iranians from making nuclear bombs. Earlier on, this is years ago now.
Obviously.
And obviously people came out with information eventually. Snowden did produce, release some of those files according to this Stuxnet thing.
Sure.
So the movie goes really in-depth explaining it, like really in-depth. And so you got to kind of pay attention. And basically it says that the creation of this tool has already turned against us by other people who've been using it because now they know of its existence and the mistrust and the fact that the laws are either not there or ignored about basically terrorism by hacking that we were doing, we the U.S., to Iran, that we're just making it worse for us in the future. And the movie talks all about all that, and they have their own whistleblower.
It's interesting.
In the movie, and I think it's really interesting. It's really fun. Fun, not fun, but, you know, a good sure. good documentary.
Yeah. Fun so, to watch and experience.
I guess so, yeah. It's hard to say yay to a movie about the fucking end of the world possible.
Well, it's like Schindler's List, you know?
I love that movie. It's a great fucking happy, fun time movie.
So do I, you know. I especially like the part where people get burned, but...
Oh, and that girl with the red coat. Now I'm sad. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yes, I do. All right, that's it for what we've been watching. A little long here, but we are catching up to a lot of the movies this year, so for the year, so hopefully we're providing some insight for you guys.
I'm really glad I got to see Moana at least, just because...
Because we hype it up so much.
Well, no, it was
and you can't avoid it. It's in every theater.
It was out. It's been out for a month already, and I'm like...
I'm surprised
late.
You were able to see it. So.
That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised
that's
I was
nice.
Able to see it,
yeah. Right on, let's get into our main review here. Our first main review here. We're going to start off with a little film that got made it big, because that's how it started, called La La Land.
I got a call back.
What? Come on. For what?
For a TV show. The one that I was telling you about earlier.
The Dangerous Minds meets the OC?
Yeah.
Congratulations, that's
really
incredible.
Exciting. I feel like I said negative stuff about it before.
What?
It's like Rebel Without a Cause, sort of.
I got the bullets.
Yes.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Oh, my. You know it's playing at the Rialto.
Really?
Yes. You should... I can take you.
Okay.
You know, for research.
For research?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday night, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
For research.
Sebastian, a jazz pianist, and Mia, an aspiring actress, fall in love in Los Angeles trying to make a career out of their passions. This is, like I said earlier, the latest by writer-director Damien Chazelle, who is also a very musical-inspired man. I think he has done some of the music as well, if not most, if not all, actually, for all his films. This movie stars Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. Everyone else is really quite a secondary or very third person in the movie. J.K. Simmons is in it for a bit. Rosemary DeWitt, isn't it? And other little actors. Okay, so this is not only a big Hollywood movie, it is also, I mean, I feel like it's a big Hollywood movie in how it feels smaller than it is, but it isn't at all. It's also a return to the old Hollywood style of musicals, with obviously updated tactics and finessing of filmmaking. So it has that going for it, if you want to call it that. It's like it's gonna hurt for me to say this, Ralph. It is the artist of the year. I know. I don't know how you feel about it. I know I'm known within our circle to hate the artist, and that it won anything at all is beyond my understanding.
I like the artist,
but
I didn't see the gigantic appeal. I liked it because I liked those type of movies, right, and that type of thing, but. I could literally go into the past and just be like, close my eyes, that one.
Yeah, you can watch a Buster Keaton movie.
Right, well, just exactly. Just pick one out of random, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be of equal quality, if not to the same. But this is a little different, though. This is different.
Well, I feel like the hypocrite in me is saying that, because I'm going to just say it straight out. I really enjoyed / love La La Land. For very obvious reasons, it's also a little bit meta. It's also about, you know, Hollywood itself, about making it big, right? Very Roman, not Roman holiday, but whatever, old school stuff. It has a very, those general universes of old style movies and even today's movies, but just made with a good mix of all those older things.
Sure.
And yet it's still its own thing. It's still written all original music. It's not set in the past or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, there's iPhones and everything.
And I can't the style and the prowess and the technique cannot be ignored because it is very, very good, very stellar. So, with that in mind, how is it on the bar of the artist? Is it up or minus that? Plus or minus artist levels? Because it's getting a lot of notoriety. It's getting, it's going to be in the Oscars. Like, it's going to be there. How do you feel about that? The bigness of this movie it's getting, the tread?
I'm glad for the movie. But at the same time, I kind of want it for myself. Like, it's one of those, not for myself necessarily, but it's just like I want it for like a certain type of people. Like, only like, it's like, you play a video game sometimes. You're just like, only a real, true video game person, you would say that to yourself for whatever stupid reason, would appreciate this more than somebody who just plays Call of Duty all the time, you know, or something like that. Like, in comparison. And I think a little bit goes to this movie. And I'm glad that it's really big and people will go out and see it, especially people who love musicals. Good for them.
And truth be told, obviously, when we say it's big, I just mean it's big in the circles of people who watch movies.
Right.
More than the Joe
Schmo. Right, exactly. I'm pretty sure I can go to a random guy and be like, have you heard of La La? And they'll be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, I can go to somebody in the theater like, and I'll be like, hey, La La Land. And they'll be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. I'm like, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, or I saw it, I haven't seen it yet, or it's not my cup of tea, right? But I'm willing to watch it, and that's what I got a feeling that's what's going on for this. I think it got bigger than I thought it was going to be. That's my thing for this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I thought it was like this indie thing, like just a lot. I felt a lot more indie.
Mm-hmm.
It is big actors, obviously. We have, Ryan Gosling, who's I think is big enough.
He's really well known for Drive and The Nice Guys earlier the year.
Sure, The Nice Guys did a good job also. Yeah. Emma Stone has been, in big franchises. So,
she is so
big on her own.
A lot of people know her almost exclusively from Easy A.
Yeah.
Which I love. It's like still her best movie for me.
It was a good movie.
Yeah. This is maybe topping that one. I don't know yet.
Right. And then, you have, like, you can't really count anybody else because they're there for like a minuscule amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
They're just there, you know? It's like Scarlett Johansson in The Jungle Book. She was just there, as a voice actress for no reason.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing you just said.
Sorry, I just saw The Jungle Book recently.
When did you see it? I saw it 2 days ago.
I don't know.
It was on Netflix.
A week ago?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It was on Netflix.
Well, I own it, so.
Oh, that's right. I gave it to you for Christmas.
Yeah.
I forgot.
It's okay.
Good one. And then, of course, I bought it for you in advance, and it came out on Netflix. Go fuck yourself, Netflix.
I was already on Netflix, by the time I got
can't even buy anyone anything.
Right. I haven't added it to my Disney movie anywhere yet, but that's besides the point.
Yes,
La La Land.
Right. So I just want to put the caveat of the fact that this movie is its own thing besides a movie, you know. So with that in mind, let's just talk about the story, the acting, the characters, and all that stuff. I do think that this movie is not without its flaws, and I think that the movie gets better as it goes along. And I would say that the bookends of this movie, sorry, that's what I'm trying to say, the beginning and the end are fantastic. And every sense of that word is fantastic.
Why do you love the beginning so much?
I think the beginning, because it's just the beginning, and actually we don't care about spoilers anyway. It opens with, good old L.A. traffic. And it's broad daylight, and it's the highway, and it looks awful. And a musical's coming. But anyway, a musical does come. Everyone in the cars are singing and dancing. The choreography is really amazing. They combine every kind of person, like from hipster to skateboarders to nurses and environment. Like, they combine everything into this huge musical number. Not with our main stars, by the way. This is just LA people.
If this wasn't on a bridge and a highway, I would expect a hobo to come out also and start just singing and dancing.
Right. And for all I know, maybe there was one. I just forgot to see it. So I forget the music, the song itself. I saw it opening weekend after all. But I remember really digging it. It was really catchy at the time anyway. It's light. It's enlightening. It's light also. What I love about it is because from what I remember of the lyrics, the gist of the lyrics is that it's all these people are looking for that great hope in LA that LA usually aspires to other artists and other artists wannabes, and it seems like these people are there to make it big in LA. Now, I'm not saying the song is all only about that, but I think the way that the traffic, that's something really horrible about LA, is bringing all these people in for the great hope in LA. And I think the movie, it's setting up the plot, not the plot, but the feel of the movie, which you're going to be seeing, like the cautionary, what is the tale, but not cautionary, just the fantasy tale of the movie for the next 90 minutes. And I think it does a really good job of setting that up without you, without beating you over the head, I think. So I think that's why I love it. I just love it. It's a great opening for me. I have to see it again to give you more details, but
okay,
that's what I came out of thinking. So you didn't get that much?
I got most of it. Yeah, I got most of what the gist was. I mean, I've only seen this movie once, so it's not a... I'm trying to remember most of it right now. I mean, I remember a lot of it, but... I like the opening. I just feel like everybody I talk to about this movie is just like, that opening. Okay, feels good.
Oh, other people have...
Right, yeah, other people have... I even heard other reviewers go, that opening was a phenomenal scene, and I was just like...
I think I've only heard it once out there.
And I was just like, I liked it. I don't see this phenomenal thing you're talking about.
I mean, the ending is, I would say, more.
Yeah.
Definitely more.
Sure, but it does bookend. And it does... there are good bookends, for sure.
Yeah.
I will agree with you there. And I did like the opening. I do agree with you. It does talk about that hope thing.
Yeah.
And how all of them individually are part of it. And it could be anybody, and it's a cool thing, like, 'cause there's a lot of fucking nuances going on, or a lot of and then it's like everybody in a car, although different, although everybody,
right, and it's
we're all here for the same reason.
And almost. And the movie's not fooling you at all. It's telling you this is a musical from the get go.
This is
what you're going to be expecting.
Like,
you're going to see some not magical realism where there's like weird sense of magic in the real world, but like that this real world will be injected with song and dance numbers. And most of it pretty good. I know that a lot of people, this is something I didn't get as much as how you didn't get as much for the opening. You didn't love it as much as people were telling you. I didn't get the Ryan Gosling's solo thing, City Lights, I think it was called. I didn't get why that was so fantastic. I heard the lyrics and I remember thinking like, it was okay. Everyone was raving about that song to me.
For which part, which time?
This is when he's at the boardwalk or whatever. Well, not the boardwalk, but at the pier or something. You know, he dances with that older black couple.
When he gives the hat back?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, get the fuck away from my wife.
Right, without saying it. But yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get why that was so fantastic either. Like, people were saying that. Like, everyone's favorite song was that one. Like, no, not mine at all.
Yeah.
For me, his, like, piano tool.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I would agree with you there.
It's my favorite. It's
way better than that one. Sorry, should I say? Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't get why City Lights was better. Probably the opening song's better for me. The ending song's better for me. The solo audition song, which Emma Stone is... if she wins the Oscar, it'll be for that reason alone. And she'll be at least nominated for that, I think. I think it's a safe bet. Like, smart money is on that. Vegas is on that.
Sure.
Would you say that?
I would completely say
that. And plus, Hollywood loves Emma Stone. And she's white, so we're good there.
Right, and yeah, she's white, exactly. I was going to say something else, but we're good.
Yeah, it's fine. At least she's not there for that, that Hawaiian movie where she plays a Hawaiian lady and she's not Hawaiian at all.
Aloha.
Jesus, that was a terrible movie.
I was trying to think. It's really hard.
I said everything but Aloha. I said Hawaiian like 50 times. I will say that my quibble bias thing about this movie and the cultural... pop culture nature of today, I mean, 2016. I kind of don't want this movie winning anything because it's like it's the reinforcement of the whole the white thing when they should be really enforcing other things too that are just as good if not better. Because lately in late years they've been doing it a lot.
They have been,
except for the director for some reason. The same Mexican twice in a row. That's weird. Yeah. Again, I wish like three other Mexicans would win that one, but that's fine.
Right,
you can't win everything.
But it is well done. Like that's the thing.
It is,
and I'm.
I have to say it, Ralph, because
sure,
you know, I do think it's. And I've said there's another movie reviews too. I'm not sure in this show and maybe in our last show. But I mentioned it before. I think the last time I mentioned it was actually during our second show, which is Kubo and the Two Strings, when I talked about how they hired white celebrity actors to portray Asian characters in the animated feature. Yeah. And there's been others like that, too, even from that point to here, not even mentioning years ago. So, like, I think that it's a problem that won't be rectified right away, but I think that this is kind of the thing that reinforces the old style of thinking of these nominations and winnings. And it just seems almost too obvious. Like, you could almost take the safe bet to know who's going to win what. Not that it really matters, but you got to remember that the Academy Awards is probably the biggest ceremony that the years that most people see every year.
Sure.
And it is, for the most part, a representation of what is not good or great, but what is a winner. Because this is America.
We're right. About there's winners. There's
like, I'm not saying I'm with the Oscars here on anything. I disagree with everything they do almost. But like,
right. But at the same time, something. You do get a DVD or a Blu-ray copy and it says winner of Academy Awards.
Right. That, yeah. Meryl Streep won every award.
Right.
Even though she's only won two. Yeah. Anyway, I just want to say that part. I know I'm not saying you feel the same as I do. I know I feel it strongly more than maybe you. But.
No, I do. I do agree with it. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, I agree more in past years, where you're like, yeah, there's way stronger films.
You're like Shakespeare in Love,
right?
Why?
And but like,
Crash,
I mean, it is a really good movie, like for reals.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know, the year that Chicago won. Don't get me wrong, I like that movie. And at the time when I watched it, I mean, I was a teenager or late teenager, right? When I saw that movie, I really dug it. But as the years went on, I'm like, okay, this movie is not as great.
No,
as
I was on the side of. It shouldn't have won. But yeah.
Right, anyway, but now, retroactively, I'm like, if I was this adult now, and maybe a voter, let's say, if I was in
sure.
business, never voted for this movie, and it won, and I'm like, if it's got to be a musical that wins, I would rather have La La Land than Chicago.
Right, I agree.
So anyway, so this movie's about hope. This movie's about your dreams. It's also about love, too, because it's like, it's really relationship heavy. You could almost say it's more about the relationship, but it is their careers and their passions and their hopes and dreams that does either separate them or make them stronger, right? So how do we feel it did that, the movie, to convey all that shit? Did it make you feel that stuff? Did it make you think about your own stuff? I mean, this is the kind of movie that would reflect on yourself. So how did it make you feel?
Well, I think we follow mainly Emma Stone's character, especially in the beginning.
I mean, the first standalone musical is from her when she's with her roommates, right?
Right.
We don't get Ryan Gosling's solo until much later.
Sure, exactly. But I and then you follow, like, it's when she bumps into him, it's not when he bumps into her, right?
I mean,
that's the other key moments in the movie, because she bumps into him twice, right?
Right.
And then it's after that they have their duo, where they sing.
Yeah, under the street lamp.
Yeah, exactly. Their first one. So, yeah, I think it works good. I'm trying to see if their relationship works out more or if their work, their hopes or their dreams. Because I think mainly you get a lot of, you're focusing mainly, I think, still on Emma Stone's dreams because you're getting it reinforced a lot from Ryan Gosling's character. And that's like, the relationship mixed in with their dreams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like what a good boyfriend would do. Like, no, you're going to be great. Like, and it sounds kind of fake when he says it also. Like, you're going to be great. Like, you know, I'm just saying it to reinforce the fact that you're like you. I should be telling you you're going to be great because I'm your boyfriend.
So you did feel like he was just saying that to be...
At first.
Okay.
I did feel that way.
What point did it shift for you when he meant it? Because I think we might have the same point. Because I do believe the same, too, by the way.
Okay,
he was,
good,
like,
okay,
faking
good.
It like a
well,
blue.
I mean, the point...
I mean, not faking it, but I'm a good boyfriend, too. I would say the same something.
Sure. I think it's when he showed up for that, when he...
The main audition.
Well, the main audition, yeah. But a little before that for me.
Oh, okay.
It's when he showed up again for... when he came for that dinner. And he's like... And right when they kind of, like, break up.
Okay.
So it's like... Because he comes back. He's like, hey, we should spend time together, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, like, I... Of course I want you to do everything. Like, I sacrificed my dreams to make your dreams, right?
Right.
To help you with your dreams. So you can do what you're doing now, right? Like, so you can do that,
put
right?
on your one-act play or
right,
whatever.
Exactly. Like, because he overhears that conversation where he's like, yeah, like, you're the whole dream thing. He's not big yet. And this is with his mom, with her mom, that she's talking about him.
Yeah.
Like, he's not big yet. He's not known. Whatever, but we both have dreams, and you could tell, like, the eye rolling of the background.
Oh, God, I hate when people ask me that shit, too.
Right.
That happens, too, by the way, because I studied filmmaking, and I've been trying to do that. I'm not an actor or anything. I don't want to be a face of anything, but, like, I definitely tried that stuff. I still do it very fucking rarely, but I do it just when I can. And when you get it from family members or friends that just don't know what to ask, and they're like, who do you know that's... Like, they'll just want to know the famous part of it already.
Right.
Like, I'm not even trying... I just want to get this... I just want to get this script like, that's done. That's
exactly
it. Like,
exactly.
That's my
right
end goal.
Yeah, so I got a little bit before that, just reassured it that later on where he takes a phone call and he kind of forces her to take the audition.
Mm-hmm.
That reinforces the fact that he was, you know, he was trying to be a good boyfriend. But I think it's a good intertwining of both. But I'll overall say that the hope, the dreaming part is the actual story plot for this movie. Mm-hmm. It's not their relationship just is really well intertwined.
It's like the plot of the movie is a desire and a feeling.
Sure, exactly. But it's being told through this relationship.
Right.
Exactly.
I agree. And I think that might be a fault of the movie, because I don't think it may seem like it's more universal that way, or it might seem like it's something that'll like be passed down throughout the years and be understood by everyone. Like, you don't have to, like, in 50 years, you don't have to know who Emma Stone is to enjoy the movie, for example. I know who the actors are, but like it's a Wonderful Life, right? You know, like most people don't know who those actors are or anything about that study or the filmmakers or anything, but like you can watch it and it's universal for a lot of people. I don't get it personally, but there are other examples. But people do, they latch onto it. I don't think this movie holds up that. I think it wants to be that, or the message is trying to do that, be timeless on that.
Yeah.
I don't think it works. I think it's too vague on that stuff, and I think it's too it's almost like it's like this movie is the opening act for a lot of great musicals to come if we are to have another musical age. The way the Westerns came back in the 90s a little bit with Unforgiven, for example. Like, this might be the Unforgiven for musicals.
Unforgiven, Tombstone, and stuff like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Tombstone came after Unforgiven.
Right, Unforgiven, okay. Tombstone.
I think so. I'm not
saying in general, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those shitty remakes. But yeah, so like, for good or worse, I'm saying. Or Tarantino makes a movie and everyone wants to copy Tarantino, you know? So like, I feel like this is it for musicals. And if we're going to get more musicals, at the very least from Damien Chazelle, if not other people who are going to try different approaches, different things, they have different interests, they have different, inspirations from past musicals. Because I know Damien Chazelle has like, I forgot the name of the film that he bases, that not based his movie on, but like the one he took the most out of. And it's like his favorite movie of all time. I forget the name of it. But like, obviously a musical would be one of his favorite movies of all time. Anyway, I have it right here. It's called The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Sorry, I've clearly never seen it. But this movie makes me curious enough as a cinephile to watch that movie. And I have another thing. I think the reason Emma Stone feels like the main character is because
her dream.
I think she gives
is
a better performance.
Okay. I thought you were going to say her dream is the Hollywood,
also her
Hollywood
dream
star.
Is about a movie.
It's about Hollywood star.
It's like you're watching a movie and it's about Hollywood and Hollywood styling
and making it in Hollywood.
And I think she out-acts the fuck out of Ryan Gosling.
I really do think that also. Yeah. I am in 100% agreement with you there. I'm not knocking Ryan Gosling, because Ryan Gosling pulls out his talents list.
I mean, this year he proved he can dance, he can play, he can also, like with The Nice Guys, do comedy action stuff, really fun.
He can sing, he's really good. He can play the piano, right?
He can play the piano, yeah. Apparently he did learn a lot of that stuff too.
They loved showing us that he knows how to play the piano.
I'm glad they did.
Right.
Very pianist.
I do appreciate that though, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the reason Adrian Brody won that movie.
No.
You know.
Yeah. Well, not... He does suffering really good too.
He can
show hunger like no other person.
No, yeah. Well... No.
Maybe Viggo Mortensen in The Road.
No,
the second,
I would say I never saw The Road, but I would say what's it called?
What?
Hunger. The Machinist. What's his name?
He's not hungry. He's punishing himself.
Yeah, I know. But he shows like he can.
What's his name? I forgot his name.
See what I'm saying?
He's like really popular. He's in The Fighter and shit. Anyway, whatever the fuck. God, that movie. I know we're talking like broad generalizations about the movie, but I can't really... Okay, let's narrow into something specific then. What aspect of the film you enjoyed the most in the scenes? Like, did you like how they played up to the cliche stuff of her being a barista in a Hollywood lot, and then the tables get reversed when she meets a famous actress, and then when she becomes a famous actress,
they say the same thing.
They're too cutesy?
She says the same exact thing.
Yeah.
She's a barista. I fucking saw that coming. Like this, either that or she's a waitress. One of the two things is going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah, waitress is also very common.
Right, exactly. So, but when I saw it was on the lot, I was like, come on. how do you land that fucking job?
Like, yeah, because like, did she drive a golf cart? And then, oh, it's a lot.
Yeah. And I was like, it's a fucking lot, okay. And I was like, they're at, I'm like,
it's oh, a lot of lots.
Right. I'm like, oh my God. It did feel very hugely cliched.
But they say
the exact same line also. When the famous star walks in, she's like, because the manager comes on, she's like, oh no, here's for free, right?
Like, see, stuff like that makes me think that this movie, while very carefully made, obviously they did that with a purpose, they want to do it on purpose, then it's not like an accident.
Right.
It makes me think that the movie is vying for something, trying for something that I didn't like.
And yeah.
Maybe I can't put my finger on it quite so well, but I just know that it was a little too much for me in that moment. Might be a little weak side, but same thing with Ryan Gosling, for example. Like Ryan Gosling's thing is that, well, I like the idea of like new jazz versus old jazz. I did like that about him. I just wish that was explored more. See, I think that if they focus more on these people's passions rather than getting their passions met, would have made La La Land a lot more memorable and a lot more inviting for us as audiences to be. To love being in their shoes with, you know? Like, don't get me wrong, it was very emotional. Some of that stuff was really emotional. Some of the fights they had, like the big dinner scene fight, for example.
Sure.
Just overall, like the way they communicated with each other. I think they even had a montage, right? And even with the sister a little bit. Like, I got that. That was all very good, relatable stuff. I really like that stuff. They're very cute together. Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, I power couple them for sure in real life. But yeah, I just wish that like that jazz was.
I wish they showed a little bit. Yeah, I agree.
Like what is Damien Chazelle trying to say? I'm not 100% because it's not
that he doesn't understand
the main
jazz.
Thing. Right, that he doesn't understand.
I agree. I do agree with you there because it did feel like a missing scene or something.
Maybe
you know that was just in between of him. After the concert, right, and before the fight,
which I liked him. I liked the music, by the way.
I liked the music too, and I liked that it was like this mix of like, what's it called? Synthetic, I guess, or whatever.
I always want to see the movie with his friend that was trying to make new jazz.
Oh, like, the John Legend's character. Yeah,
is that a real musician?
That's a real musician.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, when I saw him right away, I was like, oh, I know that guy. I'm like, oh. It took me like a little bit, and I was like, oh, yeah. That
he has a different name in the movie, though, right?
Legend guy. Yeah, it's like something stupid.
Okay, good. I'm just making sure that my face all the
time. His name is Keith.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I didn't have to be that bad with music.
No. Keith Legend. No, just
Keith Legend. Okay.
Yeah, but I do agree with you there. There is a little bit missing from that jazz thing.
Oh, here's another big one. What do you think of the fact that this movie takes out most of the narcissism that people generally have about making it big or hell succeeding at anything in life, really? Because I'm not saying we're living in that time, but it's heavier today than it was in the golden age of Hollywood in the fucking the 80s. Was
give
like
me
the
an
worst
example.
Times like the fact that well the very simple fact that both of them make it into the business, make it into a business where maybe 1% of all the people that try get in, and these two people that know each other starting up at the same time, both make it because they hoped and dreamed enough for it. Like, it almost seems like they're taking out the work. They don't take out the work, by the way. Emma Stone does many auditions, and obviously she's been through it for years. And same thing with Ryan Gosling. He's been trying different things. It opens with him making Christmas jingles, and he gets fired, for example. But it does seem a little too neat for a lot of people. That's the biggest complaint, probably the biggest complaint of the movie. What do you think about that?
Oh, okay.
World of narcissism.
Me and you had this argument earlier. We did.
I'm weeping into it back.
Sure. No. The people that complain, I just don't want to see people succeed. And I think that's the problem with right now is just that you haven't struggled enough. It's like watching The Revenant. You're like, that motherfucker struggled, right? And you're like, yeah, that's what I want to see from every movie. Every party should struggle like he did. Like
that it's almost like people wanted them to struggle and still not get it, and
right.
Have to live
and
with
be like,
it.
Well, that's life.
That.
You get fucked, right?
Right.
I'm like, well, though, you got fucked. Guess what? They didn't. Like, it's allowed to happen. That's what a movie's there for, also.
Right.
Right? This movie's talking about hope. If it didn't,
and also like I said with the opening, I think you
right.
should know that that's coming.
Exactly.
I don't see what that's a big problem.
But the fact that you see them struggle the whole movie, I mean, yeah, that shows a lot. You see Emma Stone break for a moment, and if anything, she probably wouldn't have become an actress or continued to try to become an actress had she not hooked up with Ryan Gosling. Because at one point, she's just like, "I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore."
Did her character live in Boulder?
Yeah.
Colorado?
Yeah.
What's with that? That seems like a common go-to thing for actresses to be from Boulder, Colorado. I think in The Neon Demon.
Are they, like, making fun of it, though?
The model is from there. And also in Match Point, Scarlett Johansson, who's trying to be an actor, is from Boulder, Colorado. Seems like a lot of bouldering going on here.
We should go to Colorado.
Clearly, we should go. We should go visit Luke. And an Aspen or
whatever is that? One of those fucking places.
Some mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do suffer, and I think had she not been with him, who like reinforced him, like yeah, you are a good actress. You're going to be great in it. Just keep going at it, and to do her one woman show, right?
I think they wanted. I think a lot of audiences and critics too, because that's a problem for them too.
Sure,
is that they wanted a $1 Million Baby esque level of suffering.
Okay,
because that movie made it huge in a way that no one questioned its narcissism. Also, the fact that it has that weird third act twist where she breaks her neck and gets paralyzed, but she does make it big.
Yeah,
is the point. And even though for a lot of people it may seem like they just took the championship from out of her fingers, no, she had already made it big by then.
Right.
You feel that way with her. So like, I feel like they wanted more of that.
Okay.
In a movie where it's a musical and fluffy and about Hollywood, like I don't think they can inject that in shit.
Yeah, I just, you know? I mean, I don't know what your expectations are you're setting yourself for. Everybody wants this like a more of a hyper-realism in their movies, I suppose.
Mm-hmm, maybe.
And if that's the case, I don't know, man. Maybe just stick to documentaries, buddy.
Like, true.
That's as hyper-realism as I could get, I guess.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's movies. Like,
right,
literally,
it's movies.
To escape.
It's movies. And
escape
like,
with them, hope with them.
There are movies who there's no hope at all, right? That's fine for those movies. But this is a musical. Like, and it's obviously more of an upbeat type of like, get you a little bit more amped up, right?
Yeah, leave that movie theater with a smile or something.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm with that. I'm with this movie.
I'm with the movie.
Okay. I just want to put that out there because I think I'm just contesting the main points on the movie from a lot of people that have seen it. Because you know what? In the end, though, I have, other than the opinions I've expressed that are mainly in broad terms, there isn't a whole lot for me to explore in this movie. The only thing I've left out, of course, is the ending, which I do want to get into, and we can do it now, I guess. Whew, the ending. What did you think? We should explain what happens.
I mean, so I almost teared up at that ending.
So, 5 year skip. They do break up before
their
5 years.
Great skip, by the way.
Yeah, great skip. Also, good amount of time for them to actually
get
their lives.
Had it been like something...
Like one year.
Dude, had it been less than 5 years, I would have probably been like, I don't know. She made it big already? And had it been more than that, I would have been like, they should look a little older.
Right.
So
it was a good time.
It's a good time.
So they skip 5 years. They're already broken up. We see Emma Stone clearly has made it big from that movie she did in Italy.
They show the whole...
Right, she has a kid. She has a new husband, a different husband. Obviously, the movie does a little fake out where you think it might be Ryan Gosling, but it's not. I remember it.
They do those
like a horror movie, but like a romance horror movie.
Yeah, they do more of like you're just waiting for it. It's not a fake out, right?
Per se. And then she goes down the street. Also, another reinforcement of Emma Stone being the main actress because we're seeing her point of view.
Exactly.
She rediscovers Ryan Gosling's character, Sebastian. And so, anyway, she's walking with her husband on date night or whatever, and they come across this new bar, this jazz bar, and he owns it, and it's named after the name that they both made up or whatever.
Right. Well, right before you get there, interesting thing, and I brought it up to you when we talked about it when I saw the movie, was the husband notices it, right? The husband notices that there's music playing.
Right.
Right? And she doesn't even notice because she's just like in her old world now, right? Like, I'm happy now. I don't have to, like, there's nothing wrong in my life at the moment, right? That's what, or at least that's what you get from her compared to the first time when she notices Sebastian playing this beautiful song, right? And you're just like, wow, who, like, you're literally making my day right now, right? Because I've just had a shitty day. Differences.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. I think she just wanted anything happy, and she's already happy. But
exactly.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So, yeah, anyway, they get into the bar, and she notices it's his bar, Sebastian's bar. It's called Seb's, I think it was called.
What she wanted to,
and
what's your name?
And he's playing. He sees her. They both see each other across the way, right? And in that moment, the movie takes, not like a 180 or a U-turn, but it turns into a music. Is it a music? It's a song, right? It's a whole song, right? Or am I wrong?
No, it's a song.
Am I wrong? Okay. It's a song where they go back in time. It's like a 3-4 minute thing where it's like a montage-esque thing where they live through lives again, but as if they made it big together. Well, not made it big together, but like, they lived, they proceeded the 5 years together.
Sure. Yes and no. It's more like a combination of had they made the decisions a little differently. So like
had he come to the play?
Right. It starts. Right, exactly. Like a big it starts off with them right when she comes in. So it goes like back to the past as if like the first time they ever met.
Right.
When she's walking past and he kisses her.
Oh yeah, which was in the trailer by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought that wasn't gonna come up.
Yeah. So he kisses her instead of like yes, like we are meant to be together kind of thing, right? And then she has her one woman show.
I think you could parse that that whole thing out and you could figure out like okay, this is her point, her fantasy part, and this is his part, and like okay, this is probably both of them.
Right.
This is probably what really would have happened. You can fiddle with that.
It's a mixture of like what could have happened.
What they wanted to happen.
What they hoped would have happened.
Right.
That's a big thing also.
And it's very bittersweet because obviously they don't end up together.
Right.
And it's very bittersweet in that way. And it's very choking up of...
It is. Hugely.
If there's a scene to cry, that was the scene to do it.
Right.
It didn't make me, but it was really close.
It was really close too.
That and the audition scene.
Right.
I was with that movie. I was like, Jesus, no... And I was like watching it.
Right. I mean, they show everything. They show even if they had the kid. It was a boy instead of a girl that she has. He says no to this, the new wave of jazz, right? Mm-hmm. To the thing. And that leads her to making sure that he goes to the one woman show. That since he's the best boyfriend ever, he makes sure that crowd is packed and is no seat empty, right?
Right.
And obviously,
and they all love her too.
They all love her, right? Exactly. Because she does a great job, and they know it. Right. She still gets that audition. She still gets the job. He moves with her. He gets a good comeuppance because jazz is great in Paris, apparently.
Right. That's why I forgot all about that little part. Yeah.
And then you know he still opens up his place, you know. Or no, he doesn't open up his place.
No,
but he goes down there and they go together to see this jazz club playing, right? But everything happened. And it's obviously through, I think it's more through her perspective still. What she could have
hoped. I would probably say that so too.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it's like all that longing and hopes and what could have been was surprisingly kept very well in that look that these two actors were giving across the room. And I think if you want to call their best acting moment, I would say it's that maybe, because they had to convey that with a look on top of the montage of all this stuff happening. I think they did a good job. I almost wish like the more nuanced version of this movie would have just put the look out there and we would have put all that information in ourselves. But the movie is a musical and of course it would stick to that genre, so it did the whole thing. And it's good. It was really good. Bittersweet, choked up. It was good. Like if you have a soul, you would know what we're feeling. Yeah, so I enjoyed it. I mean, one of the best scenes of the year. Anything else on La La Land? Anything else you want to discuss? I know I kind of been helming this whole thing, but...
No.
Anything we missed out that you want to mention or a highlighted scene or...
No, I'm...
I mean, Ryan Gosling can tap dance. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that too. I overall enjoyed it. It was a great movie. It was a great... lot of feels.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of emotions going on, so... You should definitely be prepared when you're walking into this movie.
True.
So, but it's a definite must-watch.
Yep. Okay. So that's La La Land. We recommend it. Check it out. It's still in theaters, and we'll probably stick around, especially if it gets nominated. It's one of those things where it'll be still in theaters for it. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start reviewing our second film of the evening, another critically acclaimed film called Jackie. So find out what that's about and find out what we think about it right after this.
You'll have to share something personal eventually. People won't stop asking until you do.
And if I don't, they'll interpret my silence however they want. Her brow furrows. Her lips are drawn. She holds back her tears, but she can't hide her anger.
Most writers want to be famous.
You want to be famous?
No, I am fine as I am, thank you.
You should prepare yourself. This article will bring you a great deal of attention.
Oh, in that case, any advice for me?
Yes. Don't marry the president. Are you afraid I'm about to cry again?
No, I say you're more likely to scream.
Scream what?
My husband was a great man.
From the moments and days after John F. Kennedy is assassinated, his wife, Jacqueline, battles trauma, grief, and public poise and tries to shape the legacy of her family's time in the White House. This is Jackie, of course, still in theaters, I think, currently.
Yeah.
It is a much more limited run than La La Land, unfortunately.
Sure.
Maybe fortunately, I don't know yet. But anyway, Jackie is directed by Pablo Larraín. I'm not sure how to say his name, but it's the guy who did the really great political film called No, came out a few years ago.
Lorenz Lorenz, right.
Lorenz Lorenz, yeah. No one's going to get this bizarre reference.
Sorry, just saw the movie again.
I mean, someone will have to know his name and then piece it together to Hail Caesar to get that reference. Right. That's a lot of work.
It's Lorenz.
Lorenz, okay. This film stars Natalie Portman as Jackie Kennedy. Stars Peter Sarsgaard as Bobby Kennedy, which I never would assume. I would never thought that they would cast that guy for it. I'm just saying, it's not my first choice, not my 50th either. Greta Gerwig, Billy Crudup is in it. John Hurt, he's old. Fuck me,
oh my
God, he's getting old. I'm afraid for him. John Carroll Lynch, who plays Lyndon B. Johnson. I liked him a lot. I always like him. Anyway,
and who's his wife? His wife's that one person who's always a
bitch. Beth Grant, who's like an, who's always very a, good character actress.
Yeah, very good.
Donnie Darko also.
Exactly. She's like an utter bitch in every movie.
And No Country for Old Men. I got the cancer. Like, she's so good. Yeah. I love her. She's never missed a beat in my book.
Sure, sure.
I want her getting her own movie, but she's in it more than usual.
Right, exactly. No, she's the type of actress you probably, like, if you ever saw on the street, you'd be like, I hate you in every movie, but I love you because you're a great actress.
Right, because she kind of plays a hateable or an annoying character.
Annoying character.
Annoying to the hero or something.
Exactly.
Okay, so Jackie, Ralph, I mean, this is probably the serious of the three movies we're reviewing today. It is the most dour, the most dire. Hell, sometimes this movie feels like a horror movie out of Stanley Kubrick.
With that, what's it called? Those sound bites, yeah, with the music in the background.
With the score by Mika Levy, who did the score for Under the Skin, so of course that guy is going to create this score.
Right.
And I think that's an interesting choice, and I think we should discuss that because it is so in your face sometimes, even though it is like not an overblown score, but it is so distinctive.
It isn't to the point where like
it doesn't feel like it belongs in a biograph.
Well, biopic. I think you just don't expect it for what you're getting on a film. I think what you see and what you hear are two different things.
Kind of like that.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of like Michael Haneke's films.
Yeah. It's also like what you're used to hearing. With what we're seeing at the moment, so like we
and also some really striking visuals for a movie about people who are not like in, they're not crazy. There's no violence. I mean, technically, there's one scene of violence. It's like, you know, Jackie Kennedy is very composed all the time, and she's talking to someone, and she's talking to reporters, and she's talking to Bobby Kennedy. And yeah, sometimes it gets heated, but there are almost always conversations and walking and dressing and seeing points of view of everyone around her. The camera follows Natalie Portman like a boss. I'm telling you. If you want to talk about the year's most focused protagonist or whatever, the one that got the most lead time in a movie, it's probably this one. I'd be hard pressed to think of another from the year. So I will say that off the bat, that, and I agree
American
with it.
Honey.
Yeah, you're right. They do follow her a lot. But also, they do skip, you know, she's in a truck full of kids singing, and they do skip singing.
Yeah, you're
a
right.
Lot
right.
Of, nah,
what yeah. I would say, that's like a comparison.
Yeah, I guess. That's not bad. I think I still win on this one.
Jackie still wins. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. Dying of fire. I just didn't want you to actually come up with an answer. I did ask for it. I just didn't think you... It's like rhetorical questions, but not really.
You're looking at me when you're saying this.
What the fuck am I supposed to look at? The computer?
Anything. Just
anything. I'm going to go... Ooh, nice poster.
That's perfectly fine. As long, if you're going to throw a question out, don't look at me if you don't want me to answer it.
Fine. Dying of fire.
That being said,
Jackie, Natalie Portman.
Where to start? Exactly.
Where to start? Let's start with the history of it. I mean...
The whole thing's a history.
Right. No, but I know. But we could talk about the acting, too. We could talk about the directing. But, like, let's talk about the... first of all, good kudos. This is okay. So, a lot of people were... some people were asking me that. I told them I saw Jackie the other day. Like, oh, well, how was it? Especially, like, to other biopics, right? They didn't add that part in, but I added it for them. because biopics, Rob, maybe you two feel this way, but you know this about me, that biopics hurt... Man, most of them I avoid because they're either pretty terrible or they all feel the same, especially when they're about a historical character or historical figure or some icon. Like, I don't give a fuck. Very few of them make me give a shit. And like, I feel like if you know the history, like, it's like you read the book already. It's not good. It's just not good.
Yeah.
You know, Abe Lincoln gets shot, and you know that, you know, whatever, and hell, JFK gets shot, you know.
Sure. Lincoln was still a good movie, though.
Lincoln was a good movie, yeah. See, that's the thing, is that seemingly a way to do a biopic better or right is to choose, pick like a week or two in their lives.
I 1,000% like agree with you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you could just focus on the minutiae of everything that's happening.
Right, just focus on that, yeah. And make it almost like a history channel on the event, yeah. Than it is about a person.
Exactly.
But have it be about a person.
Yeah, but most movies like that aren't like that.
Right, but look, also I start thinking of like, what's my favorite biopic in recent memory? And you know I'm going to say this one. It's the one with John Cusack and Paul Dano about the Beach Boys.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that.
Forget the name of the movie, but clearly one of my favorite movies. But yeah, it is one of my favorites for that year. It made my top 10 last year.
Sure.
And Luke 2.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know what made that movie do it so well, that got me so hooked on it to rewatch it. I've seen it 4 times now, that Jackie doesn't do as much for me. So when I was asked that question, how is it, right? So it's a biopic. I'm like, it's a biopic done better than most. Yeah. That's what I told
them. But it's unique also, I think.
It is unique in some aspects, but I don't know if those aspects makes this movie rewatchable or recommendable, exactly. Sure. But also, like, is it that memorable?
Do you feel, because I felt this, maybe I'm wrong, mm-hmm. but to feel this, right? But did you feel like a certain weight to this movie? Like a certain, like when you're watching this movie, like it needs to be almost shown in a certain light, or the information we're going to be told needs to be shown in a, like, it's just like a big weight was felt to be this movie because it's such a historical moment in time.
And it is, and JFK is still probably the most popular president,
the last most popular, yes.
Alive, I'm saying, the last one we had.
Yeah, yeah.
Lincoln, of all time.
Lincoln beats all, right.
Right, and FDR, huge.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
And our still first
can't
president.
Be, still can't be.
Okay, late. Fine.
Right. I still say John Adams is better than our first president, but sure, whatever.
You ain't John Adams.
He was a good president.
Yeah.
And he should have been our first. Regardless, Did you feel a weight coming into this movie?
Okay, so I think that, you know, The Birth of a Nation, we reviewed that. It's a bonus episode. If you guys did not chip in for the bonus to get that episode when it came out, November, you cheap fuck bastard. No, if you didn't do it for November, it's going to come out sometime in 2017, so retroactively we're talking about that movie in advance. That movie has a very similar weight to it that it tries to lay on. Now, what it's doing with Nat Turner in The Birth of a Nation, I think it's trying to give the weight of, we should look at this man with reverence,
yeah, but I didn't get that.
And with honor. No, I'm not saying we got that. Oh, some people did. It did work for some people.
Good for them.
And in some scenes, it did work for me. Not all of them, but some.
But I
think this movie does the opposite effect. It's a weight, a heavy weight of dread, yeah. of not maybe sympathy, but not really sympathy, because it's not like Jackie or Natalie Portman is trying to do anything to make you sympathetic for what she's going through. You get that just from knowing what happened.
Right.
And I think that the movie doesn't play to that, which is a good thing movie. Good boy movie. Good boy.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Here's your fucking treat. It's your fucking award.
Your Scooby snack, yeah.
Yeah, Scooby snack. I think that I did a good job with that, but what it does severe undercutting of like trying to show extra weight and honor to something that it does the opposite effect. It's equal weight, equal pressure of amazingness and events and history that it just tones it way down so much that you feel like I said, this dread, and the music does a big thing for its movie too. And also the dread, and also the idea of that death is just on her face a lot. Not even that alone, but just like the way death around the people around her too, that everyone's so somber, everyone's quiet, there's not a laugh in the room unless she goes back in time or she does that forward in time when she's talking to a reporter talking about the story about this, which is a part I did not like, by the way. Yeah, so it has all this stuff, and in the meantime she has to maintain composure because she understands the weight and honor, and the whole thing with the funeral procession, which turns out to be the most televised thing in American history, give or take.
Right.
Maybe two other things are higher. And one of them is like fucking, what's his name? Nixon getting fired from presidency. Like, yeah. Like that's huge. So I think that weight is giving to us by her but not in a not in the positive, like, look at me way. It's hard to describe it. I'm trying my best here. But do you know what I'm feeling? Saying?
I get what you're trying
did
to say.
Did you feel that? I know you felt the weight, clearly. You're asking me. So did you feel it? That
yeah, way, yeah. I mean, I felt it from the moment the movie started. Like, and it starts off weird with the music and stuff, right?
I know.
So, like, you're like, what am I getting into this? Like, you look around and are three people in this movie theater.
Oh, my God, that's right.
And you're just like, wow, okay.
Yeah. But, and you're like, because it's like we saw it Christmas weekend.
Yeah.
And we're like, and, you know, all the movies are packed. The big movie seats.
The
movie
lot
times.
Was packed.
Yeah, the parking lot was packed. Everyone, like, you're like, we should get there early and stuff. It's going to be packed. I'm like, dude, it's Jackie. It's not going to be packed. Boy, was I right. And in a bad way, because I want people to watch this movie.
In a bad way, yeah.
Dude, because everyone was watching every other movie but this movie.
Sure, yeah.
Just saying. Anyway, you were saying. Is that it?
No, we were. That's it.
So I want to talk about Natalie Portman's performance. I do think that there are bits and pieces of Black Swan in here, which is a good thing, because I did adore her in Black Swan. Adore her in a way where, like, well, that was a different performance, different person. That was a different character, of course.
Same person, different character.
Right. But I think that the emotions that I was elicited were heavy. Both films are heavy, but I think... And Black Swan is a very different kind of heavy. And Jackie, you are watching the Queen of the United States. Not the First Lady. If you feel like you're watching the Queen.
You really do.
Is that weird to say?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think you start off watching the First Lady because that's who you think she is.
Right.
But you realize that she was actually the Queen of
the... The amount of respect that she had for her position, and you see that in the flashbacks. They're really awesomely made flashbacks of her touring the White House and the camera following
her. But not only that, it was the amount of respect that she demanded.
Demanded, that's true. Yeah. Demanded, too. And the tacky nature of Johnson's crew coming in, like, you can tell, like, oh, man, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. You can almost read that in her head when she sees that on her way out of the movie, at the end, towards the end. Yeah, I just think that is shown so well that I think that's the thing that I come out of this movie thinking, that was amazing. That was really good. That's what I will latch onto this movie if I'm willing to sell it to someone. And that obviously is attributed almost 100%, if not 90%, to Natalie Portman's performance, which is why I wouldn't disagree if she wins again for this, because it was so fucking good.
Sure.
And she is like Meryl Streep in The Iron Lady, except that it's made way better than The Iron Lady. Sorry, that movie sucked.
Yeah, what do you?
But she's great in
it. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think of this story we're being told, right? Because it's a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although it's recollections, theoretically, right?
Yeah, it's like history beyond history or something.
Sure. But it's a story being told by Jackie, Natalie Portman as Jackie, to a reporter writing the story that he can't really write, but he's being told. For the most part, like, he can't write it, right?
It's almost like the way that information is classified becomes declassified later after everyone involved is
dead. One of those kind of things, yeah.
But not really.
Right.
But, like, clearly, like, she doesn't want any name besmirched or tarnished in any way.
Right. But she says a lot of things. And he's like,
I assume I can't write that, right?
Right. Well, it's like any reporter would look at her like, I have the juiciest thing ever.
And, yeah, so you
So I have a question. Like... And I'm not saying that this movie is doing it wrong, but did you ever get the moment in the movie? I got this after the movie. I just forgot to mention it to you because we saw this together. Is that, like, so am I being, like, punked here? Like, none of this happened?
A little bit.
Like,
well, the thing is that you can only imagine how many liberties a movie has to take.
Exactly.
To be in the shoes of a woman, classy and is beautiful, but really, we don't know much about.
Sure.
How many books are written about her? I mean, I would say maybe a dozen because... That's how big the Kennedys were.
I'll look it up.
You can look up that, how many movies? Yeah, I guess you could Google that.
Wikipedia.
Fucking internet, dude. Man, what a world. Sorry, I came from an analog age. I'd say that there may be a little bit of that I felt, but ultimately what I was feeling is that this was even though I don't really like the whole journalist thing or author of a book or whatever, talking to the thing and then she's... And the person's retelling the whole movie. I don't normally like that stuff. And even in this movie, I didn't ultimately care for it. But the only thing I did enjoy about it was how they were playing with facts and playing with the idea. It's like almost like the filmmakers are telling you, hey, we're going to take some liberties with this stuff. And you don't know if it's information that's out there in the world for us to see in the real world, but we're going to make it seem like it is so you can think that instead of knowing that we're just making shit up. Uh-huh. It's almost like a way to get past that. How many books?
At least four.
Four?
Okay. At least four, what I'm finding, mm-hmm. that are just strictly about her.
Okay. I think it's a movie's clever way of being meta.
It's called The American Queen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to read that book. Is it on Audible?
I would assume so. It's on the Google Play Store, so I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so I think that whole thing with Billy Crudup, the writer, and they're talking and everything's off the record, I think every time that happens, it's like their version of playing free will with
history. I agree. That's what I felt like. Mm-hmm. I just felt like we were getting, like, you know, how I said earlier.
Punked.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's not 100% dishonest, but it's not really honest.
Right, right. But I also felt it was like it was her finally venting to somebody that she could tell and she'll never have to hear from this person ever again. Right? Mm-hmm. This is like talking to a psychiatrist, right? The difference is, like, I'm going to tell this person, and if I ever get screwed by this person, I'm going to deny. Like, he just made it all up, right? She's, like, got the complete upper hand on that. And that's why I felt like she could take these liberties and tell this person everything and just be like, no, you
Which
can't write that.
Which is kind of a suave, slick way for the movie to introduce their plot and their story and what they want to show and tell us. It's interesting. It's good. Like, I don't hate it. Normally, that kind of stuff I hate.
Right. I don't hate it either, but I'm just saying, like, I just felt like we were also getting, like, just...
Like, I mean, the only other movie I can think of that did a really good job about the way they interjected an author of their story they were watching is An Atonement. That did it really well with that third act where they just jump ahead to the writer of the book of the movie you just saw. And it's like a twist, but not really a twist because it's all realistic. I must have made you watch it. It's one of my favorite movies of that year, if not like the last
time. I might have seen it, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But most movies fuck that up, is my point. So, yeah, I like that part. We were talking about that report. I mean, I could just talk about that report all day. I mean, the way the way she walks, the way she stands, the way she... I'm not saying it's all regal and queen-like, but it's a combination of her almost breaking down to don't ever break down, girl. Stay with it. Like, it's like she is... You see a bit of that struggle. Not unlike... I forgot the French actress's name, Nell, how... Even she looks cold and not thinking and not emotional, but she is. We see inner workings in her head. We see the same going on in Natalie Portman, I think, in a lot of those scenes.
Sure.
And she's just sitting down in Air Force One, and she's like, you can see her mind going.
They have a specific scene where they show her finally break down when she showers after everything, and you know.
Right, and that was a cool scene. But
and she kind of goes around like her whole like living area, and just starts like, I'm gonna do whatever I want. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And she plays the song.
Kind of experience. The record, I mean. Right. Kind of experience everything I want that I need to, because she knows her time is extremely limited there now. And she's not going to get the time to do anything else in that place. Mm-hmm. That she works so hard to make her home.
Right. And which is why it's a good idea to, as far as flashbacks before the murder of her husband.
Yeah.
What can you show to show the touring of the White House because of her input into the White House, her love of it throughout the three and a half years.
I want to YouTube that video. I still haven't YouTubed it yet. And just see her.
I know. Didn't you want to do that immediately?
I wanted to match it, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some of it in school before, I think, or sometime in my past, but I don't remember that well. And her looks, man, in between the camera, in between the interviewer asking questions and her responding to it then, it's so interesting. And Portman nails that fucking, like camera innocence.
Yeah.
Right? And the difference between then and post-death of JFK, it's stark. It's the starking difference. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm also glad that they didn't shy away from actually making...
I think I'm convincing myself to love this movie more.
I'm actually glad that they didn't shy away from actually showing John F. Kennedy. As an actor, like somebody for
they did
acting.
Like one scene, no, and then a still shot.
They did a couple,
and then the murder.
Like they did the murder. They did the when she like the past. He walks in because that was part of the interview. It ends with John F. Kennedy, and they did like those flashback scenes when they were doing what's it called, like dances or whatever. He was in those scenes also.
Yeah, actually, the movie ends with that memory.
That specific
of the ballroom dancing,
which
is interesting because it's not with her kids either. It's just with her husband.
Her husband, yeah.
Which is interesting choice for the filmmaker to make for this. I'm curious about that. I'm not 100% what it means, but It's very heartfelt. Ultimately, it's very heartfelt. I think it's hard. Also, I think this movie's biggest problem and biggest role to play, maybe, or biggest thing that it had, biggest mountain to climb as far as making this movie, is separating the audience from their love of JFK to just the first lady's love of JFK. It's hard to separate that.
Really,
and I'm not
is.
Even 100% if it did the job right. Because it's really hard to do that.
No, you
this
know
might
what?
Be the movie that closest comes
they,
to that.
They tried. They tried their hardest. But I think their other outlet was Bobby. And showing that Bobby, like,
yeah.
just because Bobby was like his...
I'm just
What was Bobby to him? He was his...
brother. Oh, the Attorney General.
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Was he Attorney General?
Yeah, he was. I think so.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. I meant cabinet member, sorry.
I mean, if he could have gotten away with making his brother VP, he would have, but that would have been too, like, you can't hire your family for that.
Right, exactly. But,
yeah.
But he was, like, the Attorney General, so that's why I was like, yeah, I knew he was something. They try to bring it out through him also, a little bit, because you don't see it from anybody else. You don't really see much performances from anybody else.
Yeah, true.
So, like... it's hard. I mean, it's
like I said, I'm
hard.
Not sure the movie succeeds, but it might be the closest movie to ever do that to an audience because, like I said, of the just the amount of love we've had about JFK, even if we hate him, it's still very memorable. His life and times.
Sure,
it's you can't escape him. Hell, Oliver Stone won't fucking let you.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a great scene with Bobby. What's the actor's name?
Peter Sarsgaard. Sarsgaard.
Yes. Sarsgaard. Whatever.
Tell me you didn't see fucking Magnificent Seven villain in there. I couldn't separate it almost at times. Because I'm like, this guy was an overtop villain in a Western movie. What the fuck?
Right.
Anyway, he was okay, though. He wasn't bad, but no. I don't think he was great either, though.
I never say he was. I'm just saying there was one moment, though,
yeah.
where, and it's just implying, like, it shows a lot, actually, where he says, like, we did nothing in the years that we were here. Mm-hmm. And what's he going to be remembered by? And this is kind of a key pivotal moment where Jackie has to, you know, kind of step in and be like, we're going to make sure he gets remembered. Like, he's going to be remembered, like, as a great, like, he's going to come out, like, fucking whatever, like.
Yeah, the respect.
The respect is going to be, it has to be there. And that's like, literally, I think, like, the next scene is, like, pull me files on, like, Lincoln's funeral, all the best funerals, right?
Right.
Because that's what she also asked, like, do you know... in the hearse, right? Or yeah, she's writing in the with the hearse, or no, not the hearse. So she's writing in the hospital.
Yeah, towards the hospital.
Towards the hospital.
And she mentions like, oh yeah, it's been three presidents who've been
murdered
in the past. Assassinated.
Exactly, assassinated.
Yeah,
and like, and you didn't remember your name, right? But you know who Lincoln is. You know who this person is,
right?
Where she's like, okay, cool, and I need all these information because we're gonna make sure it's gonna be as big as that.
Yeah, she is so in tune with it's like she should have been president. It's just the amount of like the badass nature of how she just took the helm. In the wake of the scandal, not even that, but a scandal and a fucking personal tragedy that changes her entire life. Like, she did a really good job, and I don't care how much of it is based on truth or not. But the Jackie from this movie, it won my heart as far as
right,
like a lady of all in any all sense of the word, she is a great lady.
Right. I mean, any normal person would have broken down, would have not dealt with things, would have
something else,
would have been like, you know, just like
right.
laser focused on one thing instead.
Right.
Anything else. But the fact that she knows who she is and what she needs to do, and what she's for the country and what she was, right, and where she needs to be,
right.
and who she needs to be. I mean, that takes a lot, like,
yeah.
for her to step, you know, take that step back, and just, you know, manage a situation like that. That's crazy. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, so I think in this conversation, I'm convincing myself this movie is better than I thought originally. Because I came out of the movie theater, I mean, I was feeling a little dreary, a little dour, because the movie is that.
Right, but you came out of the movie theater, you're like, besides your performance, it's okay, right?
And the score.
Right. But that's literally, you come out of the movie. That's how I've come out of the movie also. I came out of the movie kind of feeling like, okay, Natalie Portman did a great performance, right?
We were like,
and we're like, that's about it.
No. Like nothing else great. I mean, the movie's good.
Right, exactly. Nothing else great. That. And then like now that we talk about it, we're kind of like dissecting it. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I do like it a little bit better.
Yeah, and then the movie also does painstaking amount of detail and
sure.
picture perfect esque camera work to make it seem like it was some of the stuff was filmed back then with the fake footage.
Oh my god, yeah,
those, it was
those,
amazing.
Those were well done,
yeah. Really well done.
I really felt like I was watching a VHS.
It's like what
movie.
People thought of with Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump, like he's visiting all these great people and doing Elvis and shit, like times a billion today.
Sure,
like that's how accurate it feels, you know. So great job. Yeah, I might be all over this movie.
That's cool.
So good kudos for this, I think, Chilean director. I always fuck up where he's from.
Yeah, who cares?
But he's good. Another, you know, foreigner. Anything else on Jackie Ruff?
No, she's probably going to get an Oscar nom.
Oh, nom for sure. I don't know if it went because Emma Stone might get it.
I said no.
But, we'll talk about that Oscar stuff later, some other day. So that is Jackie. Thank you for joining us for that movie. Hopefully you saw it with us. Now, we're going to move on to our next film. Our next film is a documentary currently available to rent or buy and all streaming shit. It's called Life Animated. And guess what? Luke will be joining us for that. So, stay with us.
Okay, that's enough. As soon as everyone gets here, we'll begin.
Hey, Owen?
Yep?
Could I just recommend that instead of saying listen up, you say may I have your attention?
May I have your attention, please. When everyone gets here, we'll begin. I started a Disney club so I can get to know more people and they can be around me so I can be more popular. Shannon? It worked. Tonight we're watching some of Lion King because this year is the big 20th anniversary of the original release of the Lion King.
Yeah, sure.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Not only am I a big Disney fanatic, but I also like to play magical movie scores on this piano.
Yeah. We watch parts of Disney animated films and discuss them and see what they're really about in our lives.
A coming-of-age tale about an autistic boy and his family who overcame great challenges by turning Disney animated movies into a language to express love, loss, kinship, and brotherhood. This is Life Animated, our third film we're reviewing today, and we're welcoming Luke back from the great state of Colorado. What's up, Luke?
Hey, guys.
How's it been over there? You are working there, right? Not overseas, over state lines.
Yes, I am.
Does it feel like overseas, though? Are you, like, in the middle of nowhere?
With the internet connection, yes, it does feel like this.
Oh, I bet it is. Must be hard to get porn there now.
I feel like it's like 1999 again, and I'm really looping 7 seconds.
That's funny. Luke, thank God you were able to watch this movie. I mean, if we rent it or stream it on some platform, then you can watch it. I feel like that's the only way most movies, because I know La La Land and Jackie weren't available for you.
I had to I had to buy this through iTunes because I was having issues, and I had to wait, I think, 4.5 hours to download it.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, thank you for putting in the effort. So this is a documentary we're reviewing, some of our favorite genres for sure. Let's talk about it now. Let's start with you, Luke, since you're freshly back into the show now. How did you feel about this movie, Life Animated?
Oh, my God. I felt that it was very powerful. It took everything in me. I was like, man, this is a tearjerker, but it's very uplifting. It's got this powerful message, and it's amazing.
Nice. I'm glad you felt that way. I felt something similar. Ralph, how did you feel?
Yeah, tearjerker for sure, man. I got the feels for this movie when I was watching it. I felt scared for a second that something like that could happen to a kid. I didn't even know that, you know, like you could get it like at that later of an age, you know, autism. Although he was already there, it just like sparked into it later. Or signs of the autistic was already being there.
Well, it hit him at 3 years old.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. But like he had signs beforehand, the mom mentioned. And it was just, it hit really hard. I have a 3-year old, you know, like, who sometimes ignores me to high end, but he knows, he fucking understands. So, yes. But regardless, it did hit home really hard, and it was just like Luke said, it was a really powerful message, and a lot of overcomings, and you know that's a good message of hope, like especially where he is, and how he gets there. It's, I don't know, I really enjoyed this movie or documentary. Sure.
Very cool. Yeah, I kind of have to echo very similar emotions here. I didn't like they were like brought down on it like other movies have this year so far been doing for me, and this is the way though. It's funny because this movie and La La Land have a correlation, and where La La Land is like a movie independently made to look into and in kind of glorifies the studio system. This one does the same, but for the Disney franchise, like they actually gave them permission to put all that stuff in, for example. And this is a very inspiring movie. Like there is no there's no awfulness to it. Like that's one thing I liked about it. There's no touch of like poor anyone. It's just like very much like this is the information. Their parents are viewing it in this way. Like my favorite scene, probably give or take, is when the father describes his first time talking to his child by pretending to be Iago, and approaching him, and then in his pretty not bad voice of Iago, a rendition of him, talks to his son, and he actually has his first conversation with him. Like,
I mean, hearing him say that, just part, which has already happened, right? Because it's not like we're filming it as he's happening, right? But it's like hearing him say that story, and just like. He has, like, that moment of pause. I mean, it's fucking, like, you might as well, like, start to watch. I mean, if my wife was there, she would have cried. I didn't cry, but I mean, I could feel him, and I'm just like, you hold back, you motherfucker. But, yeah, it is a powerful scene, and I would agree with you. It's probably one of my favorite scenes.
Luke? Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
He even said that he wanted to just break down and he would not cry, but you know he's got to keep in character because he actually might talk to his son and see how it is to be him for a minute, you know, and how he feels like he doesn't have any friends.
Yeah, that was a great sentence. Not mean great in a good way. I also want to say that what do we think of the. Because like the fact that a language is created out of Disney dialogue, which is awesome. Like your homework, my son, my other, you know, has talked to their son and his wife. Like memorize all the Disney movies. That's not a bad homework to have. That's not a bad thing to do. I don't think. Maybe they hate it. I have no idea, but they don't seem to. But the whole idea of doing this, creating this language, and then the movie, what it clearly, it just so simply does so well, and it's just the most obvious thing. But it's obvious and it's genius, I think. Is to clearly animate some of the feelings and the stories that he's telling. Owen is the kid's name. So like it makes sense. Like they would draw him. They even make like a fake storyline where what's it called, the sidekick story or the secret tale of sidekicks? I forget the title.
Keeper of the sidekicks or something like that.
Keeper of the sidekicks. Yeah, like that whole thing is like it's so in vain to what Disney likes to offer in their morality tales that it's this story writes itself, basically. Yeah. Did you guys feel the same way?
Luke?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, the way it was like portrayed, I mean, because the kid felt like he was a sidekick his entire life. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's obviously done like not of the quality of, you know, Disney, like super finished,
but
right?
Well drawn.
But well drawn nonetheless. You could tell they obviously helped out. I mean, Disney looks like the biggest dick if they don't allow them to put this movie, like their
of course
clips and everything. Disney just looks like, no, we don't want it. Like, fuck you, kid.
And there's this like super smash cut at the end where like they put all the fucking movies on there. So yeah, they better allow it.
Yeah, and I mean, plus, I mean, this does show Disney in a positive light, so of course, why not?
Oh, I mean, humongously then, you know, positive. It just shows that what it did for this family altogether. Like, I mean, it kept them together. I mean, it kept them. I mean,
yeah.
They have a functioning relationship with an autistic child. I mean, where a guy, he's able to basically live on his own. Almost. But.
Right. And that's another thing is that the interesting thing about this movie is that, and this is probably one of the very few times any movie of any sort can do it, is that this is a coming-of-age story where the coming-of-age character is 23. And the only thing we can find that believable and not, like, sad or, like, but sad, sappy, or sad, pathetic, is none of those. It's just, like, it just is this long for him to have the capabilities to even start doing independent stuff. He has his own girlfriend. I mean, and that, we'll talk about that part in a bit. And some of the documentary stuff in the movie, it does feel like it's very well controlled. I will say that I can imagine there must be a lot of footage they must have, like, taken down entirely so they don't have to do, like, storylines of or get callbacks to, because it does feel almost too perfect, the stuff that happens in the movie, to correlate to what the parents are trying to teach their son, Owen, and what life is trying to teach him, what his brother's trying to do for him, and what these movies mean to him. It's like it all fits way too perfectly. There must have been a lot of footage, I can only imagine, in this movie. Particularly the girlfriend thing, because towards the third act, she breaks up with him, and he has one of the most adult return texts ever about becoming a friend and the way he expresses his feelings. I'm like, damn, you're more adult than I am right now. And I love that scene, and that's like life being unfair to him, and he goes through that whole process where he's talking to his psychiatrist and his father, I think one of the therapists or something. And it's too perfect.
I mean, he calls his mom and he says, like, why is life just full of pain and suffering, and do I have to live through it like that? And I'm just like, bro, you just broke up with your, like, your girlfriend just broke up with you. That's what it feels like, you know, like, it feels like end of the world kind of thing, right? Especially where the age that he's at, you know, and how it happened is his first girlfriend also. So, like, it does feel that way, and I get it, and it sucks, and he sulks, but you know what? That's life. It was bound to happen, even to you, you know?
Yeah, and he took it like a champ, surprisingly, and nothing was over dramatic at all, which I think is really nice. They didn't downplay anything. They didn't overplay or downplay anything, I felt, anyway. I mean, for all I know, maybe this was heavily downplayed from the real reactions. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, documentaries are not as real as we see, right? Then it doesn't mean they're as real as behind the camera. But I love how, like, just what an ageless expression this guy always had with watching movies. The camera would just be on him. And in a way, he looks like a person that wouldn't care if there's a camera on him. Whereas, like, you know, you put a camera in a room, the people in that room would change their way they talk and they act because the camera's
right on.
But this kid doesn't seem like he's doing that a whole lot, because he's just it's just pure emotion, man. Or pure.
Yeah, he's in his own world.
Yeah. Which is what a lot of people say about autistic children or people.
Yeah.
So, right. I mean, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, also, he got a great job, too.
Oh, a fucking perfect job.
At the theater?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What do we think about, I mean, the truly inspirational thing? I really like the scene. Like, it is a movie, but it's not a movie. The part where he gets invited to go to France to do that keynote speaking thing, engagement, which is very interesting because you see a room full of adults, especially the intro with that woman that was smoking. He didn't like smoking. They are surprised and they are so gleeful, these people whose professions are to understand the autism stuff. They're so surprised that they're able to talk coherently to someone with autism so well at that age and the way he did it. And I think that, if anything, that is the real inspirational thing to the world as far as autism goes and our progress to it. And I think the movie shows it just enough because, like, they could have spent so much time on that stuff. They could have spent so much time explaining. They didn't. They just showed his thing that we talked about, comparing his life to the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And that was enough for me, kid. You got me. I'm hooked with everything you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's a much better speaker than I would be, so.
You're right. I mean, he even had a good one-liner in there. Like, what the hell?
Well, yeah.
Well executed. It was done so well, and it just, like, the fact that it was a surprise. Also, it was for us, the audience. It wasn't something that like oh, we're leading up to this, you know. And we knew it was coming to that. It was just like, hey, you're invited to this because you did accomplish something. Like, I mean, it's an untold story. It's a story that an untold story. We are getting told. It's a story that is, like, you super unique. You know, you learn how to speak through Disney movies. You learn how to read through the credits of Disney movies, right? And sure, you only knew how to react by reacting to people through Disney movies, right? Disney lines, should I say? And you life is a little harder because that's how you understand life, right? Through Disney movies. But you came out the other side of being able to almost sustain yourself as an autistic child or as an autistic person. I mean, that's phenomenal. So getting that keynote thing was just, I don't know, was like a nice cherry on top for his, you know, for this movie.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like the film is pretty much on its face with the values and its mores is showing what it's trying to do with this coming of age story, which it can, you know, which makes sense. It is, you know, with the girlfriend, the apartment, the parents, you know, they're worried about getting too old to take care of him and his brother taking up the mantle. The brother thing was really nice, actually, and his conversation about like trying to see how he can even approach to him about French kissing, let alone sex, is very interesting because you like my first thought was like, well, show them Disney porn, because they make those, but they're not obviously from Disney, but you know.
And he says that.
I know. Obviously, that's fucked up. Probably don't show him that, but you know what I mean. And it's interesting what the challenges the brother will have to tell Owen more aspects of the adult life. But it leaves in a good spot. It leaves such in a hopeful spot. I mean, for all I know, like I said, it could have downhill the minute after the camera dies. But
although, my favorite line is like, what else do you know, aside from your lips, how do you kiss her? What else do you use? It's like, feelings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember he told him, trying to get him to use the tongue? He's like, oh, instead of saying tongue, he said feelings.
Right. Yeah, I
don't know. I thought that was funny.
No, I thought it was funny too. I just, it was just so innocent to hear from his perspective, right?
Right.
Because the brother's just like, dude, there's like, dude, that's not even where I was going.
Yeah, but I think he'll get there. Like I said, so this movie is very much on its face value. Everything you're going to get is from almost a premise. And you know where this movie's going. I mean, not where it's going. You know how it's going to end and the actual inspirational keynote moments, like I said. But, like, you know the validity of this movie. I'm afraid I don't have much else to say because the movie is so much there and on top of everything. Anything anybody else wants to add before we end the show?
No, I mean, just honestly, just go see it and, you know, if see something that you might have not known before, learn something.
I 100% agree with you, Luke. That's a movie I probably would have never watched. But I'm glad that I did. And yeah, it's a definitely movie that you should watch because it's a nice, hopeful, inspirational story. Yeah, that's all I got.
Sweet. Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, I'm glad I chose this movie. I forced myself to choose it for the review for the show so I can actually make myself watch it because I was like avoiding it because I have a long list of movies I missed on the year. I'm like, oh, I don't know which one to really watch. But I'm glad I watched it. It was really good and it's available for renting and buying on VOD, I believe, and iTunes is where I got it from. I'm sure it'll be available on streaming platforms very soon because this is the kind of movie that will show up on Amazon or Netflix. It just seems like that kind of thing for me. But that's it for Life Animated and that is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast. Remember, you can send feedback to any of this and any questions you have or recommendations or what have you on anything we review ever at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Otherpodcast.com is our website. Check us out there. Every episode ever made and will be made and scheduling and whatnot will be on there, guys. So check it out there. On Twitter, you can always follow me on Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
You can find me at Blind Noir.
And you can follow me at Gamer Ralph. That is with two R's and an F.
You can also follow my exploits and my movie-watching habits on Letterboxd under the same name, Armin Filmmaker. Now, this is our last show of the year, so the year has ended. Everyone, be safe out there. We'll say real quick that the bonus episode is still out for another an extra day because this movie comes on the 30th. So you have one day. So it'll come out on Friday. So 2 days, I guess. I suck with that. Whatever.
When you confuse yourself.
I know. We'll have 2 days for the bonus episode, which is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, if you're still interested in getting that bonus episode before it's too late, before the holidays end, really. So stick around for that. And also, next month, we'll be doing our top 10 shows. We'll be doing 4 shows. We're doing a best of list for games, television, movies, and discoveries. I know Luke will be available for at least one of those, and that's movies, because obviously he's a movie guy with us here. We'll try to get him for some of the other stuff too if I can. Maybe discoveries would be nice. But until then, my loyal cinephiles, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
See you later.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.